To the Mel Kay Show. Everyone knows my guest today. He is one of my favorite people. Actually, he is the one guy that will tell you things are BS no matter what. Every time he's telling you what's distracting and what's truth, what's real, and what we should pay attention to. I am honored to have back Jason Burmes. Thank you for joining me, sir.
Thank you so much, Mel. It was great seeing you over at the Reawaken America tour in Vegas. Another really good one for me, not only getting the information out to a lot of people that still might be thinking Elon Musk is a good guy. Hey, he's suing the ADL and we're going to the moon and all that other nonsense. But on top of that, I got to connect with some really, I think, important individuals, mainly Nathaniel Pavlovsky, son of Durham. Why do I say that was important? Because, you know, I'm big here on looking in the mirror and being your own hero and standing up to tyranny in a way that most people just refuse to do, even acknowledge that exists. And for those unaware of Arturo and Nathaniel's story, Arturo is the man who continuously in Canada refused to shut down his church, was continuously arrested and demonized. And finally, when he said a prayer at the trucker convoy, he was arrested. And now he's been sentenced, I believe, to 10 years. I think they're looking at 10 years, or they moved the sentencing back. They've already found him guilty.
Yeah, it's
he could serve up to 10 years. Yes.
They want more than 10 years. It's crazy.
Yes. And Nathaniel has now been charged with something. He's 23, and he is extremely intelligent. He's very well-spoken. He has a fighter spirit. And I only wish men twice his age in this country would do half as much as Nathaniel has done. And if that were the case, maybe we wouldn't be in this predicament, Mel.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And another thing too about that is we've all been talking about you for a very long time. I was on Union of the Unwanted last time. You're always missed when you're not there. But I have to tell you, everyone on there has gotten to a place where everyone pretty much gets that it is America on the line right now. It is our freedom on the line right now. It is this demented globalist, in my opinion, oligarch group of, I call them the Fourth Reich. I don't care what that sounds like. But to me, their whole goal is this global governance. And I believe our government is totally impotent and captured. But like you said, we really have to start to press down that every individual is responsible. There is no sitting this out. If you are sitting it out, you are part of the problem. I'm not political is no longer an excuse. And that is the thing you're saying about Nathaniel and these people and people like you too and other people that have put themselves on the line. The bottom line is it is America versus these people, because I keep saying, you know, Donald Trump always says it's not me they want, it's you. I keep saying it's not America they want, it's the world. But America's in the way. And people have to really understand the stakes. When you look at this picture, because they're getting more dangerous and more arrogant because I feel like they're losing. But we are in a dangerous phase here. So what is your big picture take right now? Because I saw Gutierrez, Klaus Schwab, and Tedros all on the same day said that they were running too slow on Agenda 2030 and they had to speed it up. This is after King Charles came out with his 2030 clock. And people are still looking at it and fighting each other. It's amazing.
Well, unfortunately, I don't see a lot of hope in this country right now. You know, I've never been on the hopium train, but like dominoes, they're starting to fall. You mentioned Peter Navarro. Well, Peter Navarro is now going to go to prison because there's no such thing as executive privilege, apparently, anymore. I mean, Navarro was an advisor. He's a lawyer. Everything that he said to Trump should be under executive privilege. And for him refusing to go testify in front of a kangaroo committee that literally had no opposition on it and was presented to the American public through a Holly Weird entertainment producer, he's going to prison. I mean, how many of the hopiates out there were saying, great, now Trump gets to show all the evidence. He's going to challenge the election. No, what are you on? They're not going to get to present the evidence. Don't you get it? We're done. America's over. Even Giuliani, who I don't like, was just found what in default in his trial. He's already been found guilty. He doesn't get to present evidence. And Giuliani, remember, this is a RICO case.
Right.
Is
king of RICO. Yeah.
I mean, he's the Rico guy. Like yeah. he's the guy that brought Rico to New York to take out the competition Prime Families. You got to remember again, that network has Roy Cohn in it. Roy right. Cohn, very, very much involved with the mafia. So he knows those cases, but even in those cases, you could present a defense. That's over.
Right.
So, you know, as we were talking off air just prior, I think that you're going to see a lot of the dominoes start to fall in that Georgia case, in that RICO case, when people like Sidney Powell realize that they don't have executive privilege and they're not going to get to present a case. And their best bet is to plead guilty like Owen Schroyer had to and is now, like you just said, sentenced to 60 days. I mean, Schroyer, and that's what people don't get, man. You don't want to be arrested in certain places. Now, this is still, you know, state by state's a little different. Obviously, if the feds ever show up to talk to you, you're in trouble. I encourage you either just to outright say no or immediately start your camera and put it on live, like live stream your federal confrontation if you're going to answer questions
with these people. Yeah.
I mean, you have to. You're like, period, amen, so people can see the context. There's no bullshit when you go to court. Schroyer spent almost $300K on pleading guilty in that case. Do people understand what that means? Had he wanted to challenge it and fight it, as he technically should have, we're talking millions, and then they would have looked for more time.
Right.
And again, right. in D.C., can you get a fair case? I would say you cannot. So that's it. I mean, we're here. We're at the end of the cycle of a constitutional republic, of what whether they want to call it a democratic process or not. They're eliminating the idea of a primary with new special rules to ensure that RFK Jr. not only will not be the primary nominee, but there will be no debates. They don't even, see, that's the thing. They don't even want RFK Jr. Forget about being the president. Of course, they don't want that. They don't want him on stage with the right. other Democrats right. or Joe Biden or anybody else talking. That's where we are in this country. They don't want a man from a prominent political dynasty family who has held office and is a well-known figure talking, Mel.
Right.
So, yeah, it's up to us. Like, what is next? I'm often asking the new pointed question I have for everybody is, what happens not if, but when they put Trump in prison? What is the next step in this country? Because I assure you, that is not only the plan. They have now the mechanisms in place where that seems to be the outcome no matter what.
Yeah, I agree. And you brought up D.C. Here's my thing about D.C. First of all, it's a vassal state and it's a totally corrupt to the core. But also we know D.C. is 96% for Biden or Democrats, whatever they think they are. They're just useful idiots for the globalist oligarchy. But whatever the case may be, D.C. no longer seems to me to be a viable option for being a center of this nation. They are not a center of this nation. They are a manipulated, corrupt, blackmailed, you know, spot on our nation. And that's where I look at some of this. And I think, you know, how can we be allowing this, whatever the deal is? Because I think that a lot of people talk about that act of 1871 and all that. I think that's about D.C., first of all, I don't know if that's fully about the nation, but DC does remain a vassal state that is not necessarily part of America. And what I have to say about that is I don't see why the states, I know this is a little out there, but first of all, I think it's corrupt to the core. But I mean, I'm at a place where I think if you were elected and you're a congressperson or a senator, you should have to go live where you were elected and you can now zoom in for your votes at this point. But that District of Columbia is no longer functioning as anything helpful to the United States. In fact, I think it's danger to the United States. Even more of a danger is how much the lobbyists and NGOs and think tanks run that place. And we don't even know who they are. I mean, I don't know Constitutional Convention. I don't know what we can do. But I frankly think that the District of Columbia is now our biggest enemy on our soil.
I think it has been for a long time. I think it is the viable and even visual element of the military industrial complex, not just in the offices of the Capitol or the White House, but when you drive in there, yeah. What do you got? Raytheon, Lockheed Martin, NASA, which I discussed time and time again. You know, it's funny, Mel. Last week, I was just off the cuff doing a human brain interface, a BCI, brain computer interface show. And I thought I had everything, right? Like I already had a bunch of videos up. I had my 2-hour blocked out. We're about 12 minutes before the show, and just something spoke to me and said, you know, you should look up one more thing. Just find one more video. No problem. Just do that. And in that, Mel, I find this. Okay. So I find that BlackRock actually has a BC, not just a page, but a neurotech program. And they've got a powerful little ad and commercial. So this is where I find my video. Look how beautiful BlackRock. Yes, the BlackRock, the one we're talking about. And I had a great conversation with another very young man, John Fleetwood, on how much BlackRock actually owns and what that means. But as you can see, pretty extensive site. Guess who they're partnered with on the BCI? NASA. So I'm literally, again, I'm learning with the audience. I have that. I've got the video queued up, and we're 2 minutes deep in their little promo video for their BCIs. And of course, they're partnered with NASA. Yeah. So to me, it's going to be very tough. It's just like I said this, you know, let's play imagination land for everybody for a minute. And let's say there was an insurrection, like a real one, on January 6th. In other words, people showed up with guns. They went into the Capitol. They killed people. They hurt people. They took out members of Congress, the Senate, whatever. They overtook the Capitol. Is anybody dumb enough to think they run the government after that? Is anybody dumb enough to think that group of people or who they represent, that's not how it works.
No.
We have a continuity of government program like no other. Instead, those people would spark something where there would be martial law, and then you would have mass arrests under the fat. People would be prosecuted for thought crimes on a scale we still haven't seen. And the same bureaucracy goes forward. Why? Because we have so many military bases, underground bases, black programs. Yeah, you know, Mel, out of D.C., you know, that's probably the belly of the beast because a lot of the deals are cut there.
Right.
But can you imagine what's gone on in the deserts of New Mexico and Area 51, all those places, or even in the middle of the country, inside the mountains, inside Cheyenne Mountain, just the ones that we know about.
Right.
So, look, we're in a bad spot right now, right? We've already let it go way, way too far on multiple levels. I've recently interviewed Joe Allen of Dark Eon.
Yeah. Wow, he writes great stuff. Very scary.
Well, you know, it's funny because we've had this conversation. We've had a couple. We've even talked behind the scenes. And, you know, he already thinks the technology has gone too far. Well, if he really believed that, then what is the solution? How is there a solution? Because you can't roll it back. And, you know, and I'm not a Luddite. So I'm not sitting here saying that I have all the answers, because I certainly don't. I just know that you're going to have to resist on your own level. You're going to have to stick with what's comfortable. And just like in the COVID-1984 nightmare, because I don't know what comes after Trump gets arrested, you're going to have to navigate these situations. And I would tell people to have as much of a preparedness plan for that moment as I was telling people to have a preparedness plan for COVID when it started to kick off, Mel, because we could see something, you know, as I would say, ground shattering.
Yeah. You know, what you're saying right now, two things come to mind. First is that what you're saying about Trump being, I do believe that they will put him in jail. I believe that that is the plan, that it's already a done deal, and it doesn't matter what anyone says. But also, you're talking about triggering something, and there are a lot of people that will be triggered. There's also a lot of people out there that still believe that he's in control. Believe me, Donald Trump is not going to jail as part of a plan. Okay, that is not happening. That is not what's going on. So we do have to think in terms of what happens to the rest of the country. And my fear, too, I'm sure you just saw what passed in the EU, their hate speech laws and this totally draconian thing. And then the next day, woman that runs the EU comes out and talks about that they're going to have to implement digital ID and it's track and trace surveillance and the whole thing as part of also aligning with that. And we know that the UN, World Economic Forum, World Health Organization are all in on that hate speech law that was passed. That's terrifying, frankly. But I believe it's coming here. And the scariest part about that is I've been saying to people, as you have the whole time, I see no evidence that the CIA, FBI, whoever has backed doors into Twitter or anywhere else is not still doing that. And what I see is once I see them criminalizing support of Trump at all. I mean, I really do believe, looking at the EU law, if you read it, if they do say that Trump I guess it was insurrection was his fault, or just look at what they've done to the Proud Boys. At that point, if you are still supporting Trump, that you will be basically committing a hate crime of some sort, and they'll manipulate the law. So I think that our freedom of speech is in much more danger than people think. And I think people that got there, I didn't get my my reinstatement of the show on Twitter, but I do have an account that I started again. I think people should be very careful of thinking that in any way, any of these platforms are not totally going to be scoured and scraped for anything they can use, especially one other thing I think will be included in that. I still believe, I don't know if you talked to Joel Gilbert yet, but he has that whole documentary about Michelle 2024. And I think that they're going to use that too. If you ever called her Big Mike or ever suggested that she's not a woman or any of that, they're going to scrape it and you're going to be a hate crime person. And at this point, they can censor you and silence you. But at what point can they arrest you? Because they're already doing that in the EU.
So I think there's a lot there. And let's go back to the beginning of that, trying to provoke people. You know, I had Noor bin Laden on my show this weekend. We were discussing just Biden being in there. And, you know, I didn't think there was a chance that they were going to choose him as the nominee in 2020. I kept pushing the idea of Booker and Harris and even Grandma Oatmeal, Elizabeth Warren, because they seem more viable, right?
Yes.
But they did. They ended up going with him. And that was me just kind of saying, hey, I get things wrong. But she's like, you know, I think that's part of the humiliation ritual and trying to provoke people and trying to end the United States. And I think that is probably correct and very evocative. But that should also tell people, if we are in that humiliation ritual stage and they are trying to provoke people and they've already run false flags and they've already sat there and said, we know who the extremists are and we know who the domestic terrorists are, and they're continually rolling out the Nazis now, along with that white supremacist narrative. All they need is to trigger any type of violence and then try to portray it as an actual civil war. And then they can come in and do whatever they want, Mel. You know, you talked about the Proud Boys. I think that's really important, because when you talk about just support for Trump, everything will be selective and manipulated. But just like that, you know, I had Zachary Rell call from prison last week on the program, and he's serving 15 years for touching the fence, didn't rip it down, okay, not assaulting anybody, and then getting waved into the Capitol and spending less than an hour in there. And, you know, I said to him, you can even look at the Muffin Man, a.k.a. the QAnon Shaman, a.k.a. Chansley, and what he got. And he was the poster boy for what the media was putting out there because of his outfit and being on the, you know, inside. And he's already out. And I say, you know, he actually went into, you know, the halls of government.
The chambers.
Yeah, went in the chamber. And I'm not saying he should have done more time for doing that. I don't think any of these people should have served the time they should have. But I said, they're giving you 15 years because your political association, because of the mythos that the Proud Boys are some kind of paramilitary group. Look, I warn people on LARPing and playing dress up. There's a time to play dress up, everybody. You know what it is? It's Halloween. You know, that time, go for it. Do your thing. But as soon as you start getting into outfits and doing chants, beware. And I'm not saying we don't need to get together and say, stop the steal and do those things. But I went to, you know, the December rally and then January 6th. I was never a part of that.
Right.
Not because I didn't believe those things, but because, you know, I look at the broader scope of how not only everybody's going to be portrayed and the effectiveness of those things.
Right.
Like, look, I don't think the Proud Boys are bad people, but I see how easy it is for somebody on the peripheral that has no idea what's going on to look at them, look at their outfits and be like, oh my God, you know, these are the modern day militia. There's a ton of them. And oh, that, and now you sewed one of them with what everybody portrays as the white supremacy symbol. And then they play it, they lean into it, right? Like Tario never did himself any favors. Did he deserve 22 years? He didn't deserve 22 minutes.
Minutes, I know.
You know, how many videos of him out there are of him acting smug to the journalists and wearing the Western Chauvinist T-shirt and, you know, saying things like, you know, we're a drinking club with a patriot problem and reversing it. You feed into the media that way, man. And then they're coming. Now, the scary thing is they're going to start going after those, I think, that are politically effective behind the scenes, that don't have that bravado. And all they need is the right event to spark that. So really, those are the things that I'm looking at, because I think it's a foregone conclusion on 2024 with Trump and prison and the elections. I think they don't even want to Vivek the snake. And by the way, I might be talking to Vivek tomorrow. I like a lot of the things that he's saying. So I'm seeing DeSantis, Pence, and Haley being pushed as the establishment loser to the Democrat.
Right.
That's it. And so many people, it's funny. So I talked to Chris Sky while I was out there in Reawaken too.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I want to get the Canadians' perspective. And I'd already talked to Nathaniel, who I thought had an amazing head on his shoulders.
Oh, yeah.
And he was pretty in agreement with me. No, it looks like they're putting him in prison. Chris Sky sits down with me and I ask that same question. He can't even fathom that he's going to be in prison. He's like, there's no, I'm like, dude, this is not Teflon Don stuff. And you got to remember, they eventually got John Gotti. Forget about it. In the right scenario, everybody goes. And he goes, well, then you hear this term civil war. It's not a possibility, everybody. I just want to let not only because of the example I gave about Capitol Hill and the targets and such. Mel, I did it live on the air because
we'll do it live.
We do it live.
We'll do it live.
I like it.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
So we looked up live. How many people were in the full United States during the Civil War era of the 1860s? And what's your guess?
18 million.
A little more than that. It's about 30 million. Now, of that 30 million, less than 10% fought. So now you're talking about 3 million people that actually partook in that in a time period where transportation is very different. And the military and the civilian class have the same caliber of weapons. Okay, we're not talking tank, we're talking horses, muskets, cannons. Okay, even playing field all around. We have 30 million people that live in New York State, 20 million in New York City alone. If you just get visual pockets of BLM versus Proud Boys type people, and we're talking about conflicts with hundreds, maybe thousands of people. Number one, nothing's getting done. Everybody loses. But then they can portray a civil war. And like I said, we're in an era where if they declare martial law, they start picking up people and arresting them. We're even in a place where now it could be the Geraldo Running Man scenario. What do I mean by that? So for those that have never seen Running Man, you're a criminal. You're playing the reality TV show game against a bunch of killers. If you somehow survive this American Gladiator style, real deal before the Squid Games thing, full vacation, island lifestyle, you're forgiven for your crimes. So they show you like the groups of winners. And Geraldo Rivera, back in his very mustachio days of wanting to be an actor as well,
right,
he's the guy that won. And they show Rivera, all a deep fake, all deep fakes. Yeah. So, you know, we're at the point now where, geez, like even a guy like myself, there's literally tens of thousands of hours of my face and my voice that are unique on the web. It would be no problem to deep fake a guy like myself and even somebody else. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
You know, they have phone calls. They have other data sets. So many people are staring into this goddamn thing all day for their biometrics. So it would be the post-truth world on steroids. And in my opinion, if that happens in this country and they start arresting political dissidents that way and there is no resistance, that's it, man. That the 2030 agenda is on. The transhumanist agenda is on. The New World Order is in full force. And quite frankly, I feel like we're already living in it.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You're one of the producers of one of the movies that changed a lot of people's thinking and still does. I know last night on The Union, we were talking about Loose Change and how much it opened people's eyes, and you were instrumental in that. And we just had that, you know, who else was on? Chris Emery, who did the Oklahoma City bombing, unbelievable documentary as well. And I have to tell you, what's very scary about all of this and you saying that you think we're already past that point as the conversation was going. And I remember after 9/11, I had some friends who were pretty big in the mafia, and I know that they were going in there at night, you know, not them. They were going in there for somebody else to take all the steel and stuff and to get rid, to cover up. They were trying to clear that thing out as fast as possible. So we know about all the first responders that got sick and all of that. We don't know about the people in the dead of night that were covering that stuff up and getting rid of everything and shipping everything out so they could never find out. But we were talking last night because I had come across, mainly because I do a lot of digging from stuff that you've given me in the past, especially that one document that is pretty scary, the 2025 one that goes through like the warfare, and it's that guy from the CIA is presenting it who's still in there that you talk about sometimes, maybe NASA.
NASA, Dennis Bushnell.
Yes, exactly. So I'm looking at that, and somebody had sent me some information about East Palestine and Maui and one other derailment that after when FEMA was going in, then a bunch of companies would come in that were all either AI or climate cleanup or any of that. And I was comparing, and most of them are at least attached to groups that are partners of the World Economic Forum, at least listed on their website as like, you know, somehow connected, the people that own these companies. So I'm thinking, wait a minute, are they actually, after these events, are they going in and implementing more and more of the technology needed for the internet body, Internet of Things? And possibly, has that been going on since 9/11, since Oklahoma City, since all of that? Because when you put it all together, and then I know those guys that were removing like steel and stuff and going in the middle of the night when people weren't supposed to be on ground zero and doing all kinds of stuff, God knows what, it makes you wonder, like, I think we are way past it and people aren't necessarily accepting the fact that that might be the case.
I don't think a lot of people are aware of it. I think the cognitive dissonance is extremely heavy. You know, you talk about the World Trade Center site, and regardless of what they've instituted or implemented with technology there. And by the way, obviously a huge amount of CCTV camera system, the 5G. That's going to be tough in a city area like that with so much congestion, by the way, because you're really going to need those repeaters everywhere. Right. But when I started talking about the orb and this new world coin and blockchain currency based in a UBI, in the United States, I'm only aware of two different places that you can schedule an appointment with the orb and have your biometrics taken. One is in LA and one is in New York City under the World Trade Center in that complex. And I, wow, you know,
interesting.
I followed a kid going down and doing it. And look, I led my presentation with that because you just talked about two different things, which that's very much a part of the Internet of Things and the Internet of Bodies. And the Internet of Things in the sense that you are now creating value on the blockchain for this UBI token via smart contracts and interaction to then exchange. But then on top of it, it's the Internet of Bodies because it's directly attached to your biometric identification and quote unquote verifies you as human. Now, whether this is adopted globally or it becomes the CBDC or it's knocked out, it's a beta test, right? And it's a beta test, by the way, with Sam Altman, who is the guy behind ChatGPT. And we've already seen ChatGPT be extremely biased. It's not true AI. And it is basically garbage in, garbage out algorithms that trains itself to produce more material that I would say promotes the great narrative. And then when it openly lies to you and gets things wrong, they call it a hallucination. Oh, and it wow. just becomes... Oh, you haven't seen this?
The hallucination part. I didn't know that they were doing that.
So type in AI hallucination. And so a great example of that is that we had a couple of lawyers that were utilizing it to bring up cases that they were presenting. And two of the cases were completely made up by the artificial intelligence and did not exist. So all of a sudden they had to come to grips with the fact that this was stuff was making stuff up from the large learning language model and its algorithmic activity. So about 10 to 20% of the time, it's hallucinating. But in my opinion, it's not really a hallucination. It's in fact selling you on the ideas that are pre-programmed within the algorithms of these large learning models.
Hey guys, thank you for watching the show. I just want to remind you yet again that we really need to be very cautious of what is going on with the economy, both here and internationally. Most of us know that the BRICS nations are looking for a gold-backed currency to dethrone the dollar being the world reserve currency. They have an event coming up on August 22nd. The BRICS nations are all going. There are also 13 other nations that would like to join the BRICS nations. And this is not something to not pay attention to. We have to make sure that you protect your savings. And that is why I have chosen Beverly Hills Precious Metals. That is where I have gotten my gold and silver. I leave it in a depository. I know it's there. I've replaced it with my savings. I've put there to make sure that I weather the storm no matter what, be it the central bank digital currency, the BRICS nations, the dollar goes into collapse, whatever may happen. I know 401k, IRA, backed by gold, as well as having my savings, at least an amount of my savings in gold, in the depository or sent to you at home, is the best way to make sure you maintain peace of mind and make sure that your savings and everything that you've earned is safe no matter what comes. We will get through this. All is not lost. America will return to greatness as it always has been. But between now and then, we have to be very smart and very cognizant of what's going on. So please go to Mel K. Gold, or go to the MelKShow.com partners page and go to Beverly Hills Precious Metals. And my friend Andrew will take care of you. He's got a great team. Gold is the way to go right now. And I know that no matter what, I'm safe. So please do that for yourselves. We really care about you here. You're more like family and friends. And I hear from all of you a lot. So I just want to make sure that you guys are doing something proactive to be prepared. All will be well, but take care of yourself now. Being prepared is always a good thing.
Wow, weak. That is scary stuff, because at the same time, I don't know if you saw this yet. You probably did, since you're on top of this kind of stuff. But I was saying to people, when they were all going nuts about the executive order for the IRS with the 87,000 agents, I was like, that's not the important part of this order. The important part of this order is the AI part and the technology part and the ledger technology part. And basically that you're not going to be doing your taxes anymore. They're going to just be taking them. And that this was very involved in there. And I was even on with General Flynn and Clay. And I was like, listen, the 87,000 agents, and that they're all being armed to the teeth is besides the point. Point is that they are going to have an AI and a new technology. Well, anyway, they just announced it 2 days ago that the IRS is moving forward with new technology, and that it's going to start with earners above 400,000 and go through and scrape your IRS files to the beginning of time. And basically, the enforcement will be through algorithm and AI and all of that. And if you've ever seen Harari talk about how the credit scores of the future would happen, he goes out and says, well, it'll be an AI algorithm. So you really won't be able to know exactly why you're turned down for stuff or your score is low, because it's a metric that humans can't do. Well, what I'm seeing them heading towards, and I think the IRS and the Federal Reserve and all that is ridiculous and unconstitutional and shouldn't be as it is, and certainly not what it is. But it does appear that that's happening, and that it's coming for any kind of digital currency and anyone that made money on blockchain or on Bitcoin or whatever. But that AI technology being implemented at the IRS looks very, very dangerous to me.
I totally agree. And it's bringing in more automation. And the idea that Harari says that is because it's going to be based on more than your finances. It's going to be based on your social behavior, your posting, how honest you were in your financial transactions, especially with the IRS, and then really your political leanings on top of it. Right. And look, the idea, they try to ease it, and they make almost $500,000 a year. First of all, that's peanuts. That's nothing compared to the companies that are really Trojan horse civilian systems and pay no taxes because it's baked in, the Googles of the world, the Apples of the world. That's on purpose, folks. And quite frankly, that speaks to the fact that we're beyond the monopoly system. We're in technopolies that are really a techno-fascistic partnership. And a lot of people, again, you look at like BlackRock, like there isn't anything they don't seem to own the majority share in. Then they're partnered with the government and an agency that's supposed to be taking us to the moon and Mars, but is working on neurotech, okay, for, again, a BCI system. That this one's going to, it's going to help you walk again. It's the best thing. They're benevolent. They love you.
Right.
And then they'll have their pitch man, Mr. Sue the ADL and stop World War III and give us free speech on Twitter, the Musker nuts out there, get the FDA approval for the hip, kiosk brain chip that's going to let you listen to Taylor Swift in your head. Like, that's not like me predicting it. It's going on now, Mel.
Right, right. Yeah, and the crazy part about BlackRock that a lot of people don't know, my audience might know from other shows, is that they also control this thing called Aladdin, where they basically control everything that they don't control anyway. So it doesn't matter if they own the whole thing. When it comes to financial transactions in America and the planet,
They're the ones telling people what to do on the other side. It should be a conflict of interest as it is. So the, one of the biggest things that has happened here is that that's been allowed. And I frankly think that in 2008, that was a controlled demolition to allow this to happen, to allow the Black Rocks and the Vanguard and State Street and all them to really gain control. You have Jamie Dimon out there saying things that contradict each other every other day. So, you know, he's in on it. And then that brings us to the best topic. If you guys don't know about Jason Burmes's covering of the Epstein case for a very long time, better than anyone else, you and Sean Atwood were the best reporting on that case by far, and Whitney Webb. But I still look at that because what I just saw last week is they're still going forward in the U.S. Virgin Islands. And now we get more and more. The problem is that I believe that all roads connect to that case. And when I say that, I don't mean all the things we're talking about. I'm talking about the people that are the oligarch billionaire globalists that have captured our nation and the world at this point. If our nation falls, they got the world. That is the truth, I believe, with them. But I believe that so many of the people at the very top of this, not only was Epstein involved with all the stuff, transhumanism, Wuhan, everything going on, Hollywood, you know, media, BlackRock, everything. But I think he wasn't only helping blackmail people for Ehud Barak in Israel and America and the Clintons and Andrew and there and Saudi Arabia and all of that. I think they were all blackmailing each other. So and he wasn't the he's obviously not the only guy in that game. But I think that that is really above all of this is them protecting themselves from whatever everyone else has. I feel like all of them are probably super paranoid right now about each other. People, you know, point to China or Russia or the U.S. or whatever. And I'm like, I don't think the Fourth Reich has a flag or a country or any allegiance to anywhere. I think that they're a blob unto themselves, but I think they're all fighting amongst themselves, which makes them scary. So in terms of the Epstein case, do you think we're ever going to see anything for real? Because the truth of the matter is the amount of blackmail and all this stuff behind the scenes, they've had it all this time. I mean, they have it. They have it all. And those are the people I think that are controlling everything are the people that are in that blackmail.
Great question. And that's why I'm going to ask something similar of the Ramaswam if I get to talk to him, because he says he's going to give us the list. There is no list.
I know. So there is no list. I keep saying
there is no list. I'm going to go, when you say the list, does that mean that the public is going to get to see, we know the binders of photographs that they didn't use that they presented in the case.
Right.
We know the CDs and the photographs that were in the safe that they cracked along with his passport with a fake identity. We know about that.
Right.
We know about the hard drives in big plastic containers that say Maxter on them that have data on them. And then right. The burned DVDs. So my question is not about the list. Will we see that evidence and will that evidence be presented in a court of law for all the criminals that are doing criminal activity in that? Now, as far as the Epstein case continually being, I guess, the gift that keeps on giving, J.P. Morgan allegedly notified the government of $1 billion in suspicious activities by Epstein. So they're countersuing the U.S. Virgin Islands. Meanwhile, the U.S. Virgin Islands is saying Epstein's entire business with J.P. Morgan and J.P. Morgan's entire business with Jeffrey Epstein was human trafficking.
Right.
So, yeah, I think we're going to get bits and pieces. Yeah, I know that's a brand new one. That one broke yesterday, everybody. So
I think it's the only way out of this is to see that evidence is to expose these people that are the puppet masters, because that's who we're talking about here. I hope people understand that the level that Jeffrey Epstein was working on are the people that you don't see. I believe that they are the people moving the chess pieces on planet Earth from Israel to here to Russia to China, all over the place. And then China has their whole own operation over there of blackmail and bribery. And the other thing you brought up also, there was the first case in Palm Beach. There was a lot of people there that had videotapes and all them. They all disappeared. I don't know if the guy in Russia is still even alive. And I believe, like, I don't see that many ways out. But one way that gives me a little bit of maybe is if some of these people are exposed, because the one thing I did like about the ADL, I ran into them. I was trying to expose Thrive New York City, which was a fraudulent program by de Blasio and his wife. $800 million disappeared. This great guy, DJ Jaffe, I was trying to help him. He was an advocate for the mentally ill and homeless. And they put that Thrive New York into play as a program for the mentally ill and homeless. $0 went to the mentally ill or homeless. All the money disappeared, basically. But at some point in that, I ran up against the ADL because even questioning that program was somehow anti-Semitic, which we know isn't true. And I get called in, it's laughable. But the bottom line, though, is there are people in that world. And I know you and I have discussed it, but a lot of these things, anti-Semitic, Islamophobic, you know, the patriarchy, even the whole racism, Southern Poverty Law Center would be the same as ADL to me. They use that as a weapon. You know, they use that as a weapon. But some of these guys that really are involved in using the ADL as a weapon, like Les Wexner, obviously the Bronfmans, you got Lauder, all these people out there that really are very involved in that world. So, you know, there are pieces of their machinery that it seem to be falling apart. And the ADL being one of their most protecting groups, which is really, I mean, what's crazy about that whole ADL thing is I was called anti-Semitic by them because I bring up the Rockefellers. And I'm like, well, the Rockefellers aren't Jews. So first of all, that doesn't make any sense. Then bringing up all the influence they've had is saying that they're globalists. So, the ADL didn't like that I said Operation Paperclip was real. You know, we talked about this before. But I have to say that's one of the but I have to say, I think they're directly connected to the Epstein case in a certain way, where it's a lot of the same powers behind, I believe, the Epstein blackmail ring are the same powers behind some of these groups that use words as weapons and shut people down by, quote unquote, saying hate speech. So it does appear that at least on that level, that conglomerate of those overlords are threatened to some extent for their own safety and their own future and their own freedom.
Well, I think they'll do controlled burns, right? It appears to me that Ghislaine Maxwell, you know, she got her 20 years, but I think that she's played ball enough and she's got her appeals process. Don't be shocked if she's out of jail in the next 5 years. You know what I mean? And think about that. Tario gets 22. They'd love him to serve all those. And other than a miracle, in my opinion, or some kind of a, you know, changing of the political climate in the next 5 to 10 years, he might do all 22 of those years. When we talk about declassifying and going after all those people, I think it's essential. But at the same time, you have Bannon out there, right? And he says we're going to get the Epstein files, right? And we're going to get the JFK files and the RFK files and the MLK files and the Malcolm X files. All great. Like, if that was real, yeah. I don't know that it is, right? I'd love to see it. But 9/11 has to be in there too. How do you allow the military-industrial complex that clearly colluded with other nation states to carry out that attack and then create the war of terror, both at home and abroad, and have no audits whatsoever? You can't do that. Like I said, it's imaginary. Like, you're not doing anything. So, you know, it's great that Vivek talked about, say, the CIA connection to Khalid al-Madar and al-Bayoumi and all that. But, you know, it's 15 years after I put out Fabled Enemies and no one's talking about Joe Biden meeting with the Pakistani SI and the $100,000 wire there. And yep. Building 7 was vilified yesterday on Twitter. If you dared to question it and you dared to question the Pentagon, you're vilified for that. And even without the physical anomalies, you question any aspect of that and you're QAnon. Now, that's what the talking heads.
I know. I know. It's crazy.
You know, we're still wading through it. I think a lot more people are awake. I do think that people are fed up, but I just wonder how far it goes as we get closer and closer to the 2024 election cycle and what I think is the inevitable imprisonment of Donald Trump.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy times, but, you know, with all these pieces out there, I just really believe that the people that are really, really pushing for the imprisonment of Trump and all these people, and basically everyone I believe that it supports anything other than what they want and their narrative, they would like us all in the gulag. I mean, I think it's to that point, and I don't think they hide it. Twitter is one place you can openly see that, you know, there's a lot of people in America, if they are real or not bots, that would be okay with that, that were cheering on the sentences for Tario and other people and can't wait till Trump goes to jail and are excited about it. They don't care about the destruction of America from the inside out or the big picture. None of these people do. But again, I always say, why don't they care? And for me, I really do believe that it's that Epstein ilk, that totally globalist billionaire class that is not willing to go down. They're just not willing to go down, and they are, I feel like, losing ground because of people like us. So the next thing to question is, let's say, I know you're big, you've always been, first of all, people have to know, Jason was an early guy that was like, I'm out in New York. I'm waiting around. I watched him go. I'm like, oh God. And then, but you were also early with the prepping and the being honest and being serious and growing your own food and all the things that I hope people are getting now, and hard assets and all of that. But what you have talked about in the past, and certainly is a possibility, because I believe that if they cannot stop the narrative, they cannot shut you up, they cannot shut up, you know, other people that are on the same level as you, that are really, really breaking the truths they don't want to hear, that cyber polygon comes into play. And that they would rather take down, just like they would rather take down the US and our entire legal system and our justice system and all of our institutions than them be exposed. I believe that they would rather take down the entire apparatus of communications than them be exposed. Any thoughts on a cyber polygon kicking in at any time?
And for those that don't know what that's a reference to, it is a cyber attack that would cripple the infrastructure of the United States. I could see that in a limited scope. So I don't know that it would go throughout the United States. I think that cutting the power and communications on 300 plus million people puts too many prominent people at risk. However, I could see pockets of it. I mean, think about just the devastation of something like that happening in a Chicago or a Phoenix, Arizona, or a San Francisco, et cetera. And to emphasize that you could hit several cities at once and create a political narrative surrounding it. I'm of the belief that if they want to get their outward steal of 2024 with mail-in ballots, et cetera, they got to pull something, right?
Yeah.
And whether that's COVID-1984 2.0, which they seem to try to ramp up and put the feelers out, or some kind of a, let's hope not, but a nuclear event anywhere in regards to Ukraine, Russia, that seems to be a possibility. Cyber polygon, I forget what expert it was I recently had on MSOM, but I went deep on different types of infrastructure and cyber attacks. And really, what I found interesting is that not only was he open to the idea, but he agreed with the fact that really internally is where the most vulnerable. In other words, if something like this were to happen, it seems like there would be people on the inside that allowed it to, whether knowing or unknowing, unwitting or witting. So I don't count that out, Mel. You know, I've still got canned food, still got a lot of water, I still got my freezer. I hope the power doesn't go out. But that is, you know, a definite possibility. Again, I always weigh it just like just with, you know, what I think is a very real seeded biological attack with the COVID-1984 nightmare. But at the same time, I think a lot of people were already on ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and taking vitamin C and vitamin D drips and all of that stuff prior to it, because they knew that they were going to do that. And they knew if they got sick, there was some type of solution. I don't think they'd go full suicidal. It's just my opinion.
Right. Yeah, I mean, okay, so as we started the show, right now, I'm going to speak right now in Stuart, Florida with Ann Vandersteel to a group of people that, you know, they want to do something, they want to get involved, but it's still the same, what do we do? I'm finishing up a book, Americans Anonymous, a 12-step program for the American citizen to take back their country themselves. But I have to say, it is up to the individuals. I also, in this project I'm writing, I say, you know, in biblical times or in times in history or whatever, it was the nobodies, the you and me, that stood up. It was never the leaders that saved the day. It was people that you learn about throughout history that really made difference, that at the time were just people that had enough. So where we are now is, it is a very, it's gotten way too far. I think that America has been very passive. I still think a lot of America is, but as you brought up in the beginning, it doesn't take the whole country to do something, but it takes some people to do something. It's funny, I also talked to a bunch of January 6 people, but one of them is Jeremy Brown, who was set up early on. They wanted him to go in. He's in jail, and he's been on a couple times. And I asked him at the end, you know, he says that he will always stand for the country. He loves this country. He's a veteran also. But I always say to both shows at the end, I said, well, what do you have to say to people? He said, just everyone should, I just want to say, don't do nothing. Don't do nothing. Every single person has to realize that it's personal for them and they can't do nothing. Or we're going to be like Reagan said, someday tell our grandchildren and our great grandchildren that there was once a place called America that everyone was free and there was liberty, and that place no longer exists. So for you, when I say to somebody, don't do nothing, what is doing something look like?
Well, there's a lot you can do, right? First of all, your local officials, your sheriff, number one, right? Like that's, you look at what's going on right now in New Mexico, for instance, where you have this governor that just says, hey, the Second Amendment and the First Amendment, they don't exist. She goes, even my constitutional oath isn't necessarily. So I couldn't believe she said that, but hey, we're not dealing with high IQ people here. Yeah. And even when she was asked whether or not her dictate of an emergency that doesn't exist would be followed by criminals, she admitted no. And then somebody said, well, if it's not going to be followed by criminals and you're not going to criminally enforce it against legal carrying people, what is this for? It's sending a message. And the message is the Constitution's over and right. We're putting authoritarians in. So you can't allow that. Like if that happens, you got to be the people out carrying, right? It's just like right now, what is doing nothing look like? Well, if you're in California, New York, Philadelphia, New Jersey, and they started making you wear a mask again because you work in this hospital or you work in this school district, it's time to leave. That's if you don't leave immediately, that's doing nothing. Okay, that's so just leaving is an act. If you're in a school system where you're a student and they're putting the masks, you need to leave. You need to say, you know what? I want my tuition back. I'm done with this. I didn't sign up for this. This is insane. I'm going to sue you. You need bare minimum to not be a part of that, right? I talked about the sheriffs getting involved. I realize not everybody is going to run for office. But right now, aside from sharing videos, information, books, that type of thing, you also have to be somewhat politically active. I mean, if you've got kids and you're not at the PTA and school board meetings now, I don't know what to tell you. That's again, and you can be there, that's doing nothing. I mean, aside from all the other stuff that you should be doing with your family, like today at 4, I will be at my niece's volleyball game. First one of the season, very excited. Okay. That's something like being that involved with your kids' lives, that matters too, because, you know, even if that's the something you're thinking, if you're not going to those meetings and you're not talking to your kid, and you're not figuring out what they're doing in there, that's a problem. I mean, we will not acquiesce to masks here again. I, you know, it won't happen. So there's a lot people can do now. Are you going to change the world tomorrow? No, man. Like there are plenty of disappointments. I had, you know, again, me and Dylan did a show last week, and I introed it with the beginning of Loose Change Final Cut, which is the 5th anniversary of 9/11. And, you know, we both got a little bit emotional. And in one sense, sure, you know, you talked about it. We helped change the world, the perception of what's going on in our government and geopolitically and what these events are really about. But did we get any justice? No. Do people remember or talk about the 5th anniversary of 9/11 when tens of thousands of people came out in No. We're a part of forgotten or whispered history at best, according to the great narrative. So, you know, it's incumbent upon us to say, no, that's not how it went down. You're not going to gaslight us. So, you know, doing nothing is consistently acquiescing to things that you know are a problem. You know, in your heart, there's something you can do. And really, you know, again, talking to David Icke yesterday, the biggest thing you can do is when you look in the mirror in the morning, you decide to be team human. You decide to be your own hero. You're the one making the decisions. You're not just going to bend the knee anymore. So I think that's a great start. And with more of that attitude, there's more of a friction and a real resistance. And I would say it's in the ether, in the ethos, that you don't want to push these people too far. Because you're not going to get the desired result. It's not going to be the controlled burn that you have in mind to implement your plans. So, you know, passive resistance is the first step in stopping this thing. But at the same time, getting educated, getting involved, and stop making excuses. Right. I get, and I don't want to be a dick, but like I get it. You know, you might be leaving a $60,000 to $80,000 a year job that you're 5 years away from retirement on. it's time to go. Because it's not going to end with the mask. It didn't end with the four shots they made you take. It's over. Get out of there. I get it. It's hard to start again. And that's a thing. That's a big mental jump. Yeah. Now, you know that anywhere, yeah, whether it's work or family life or moving, you've got to get past that. You've got to realize you're in it. You're in the situation now. What are you going to do?
Right. Right. And I think it's really important what you're saying. I think showing up is really important. A lot of people aren't showing up because of January 6th and some of the things we're talking about, but you got to be willing to show up anyway. And that's the other thing, that New Mexico governor, she was like, well, I can't arrest everyone. And it's so funny because I was such a fan of especially the writing of Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. And I'm like, oh, really? In Albuquerque, they're going to only the criminals are going to have guns. I'm thinking like that for any city. But in my head, I just like laughed, like of all places, you know, from my experience in those shows. I mean, it's kind of a joke, but not really. That's how every city runs. I learned so much in that about our government, even. And watching that it happened to be New Mexico. Also, you brought up earlier all the testing of weapons there and everything that Chris Emery last night was talking about, like all the missiles and all of that. We just saw Oppenheimer. I mean, it's like we have a country that Red has a book, Clash of Two Americas. And I feel like we're at the Clash of the Two Americas right now. Oftentimes I talk about, go back and read the Declaration of Independence and tell me where we are. It's a different king. It's now a blob of globalists, but it's the same place. So I am with you with everyone has to be their own hero and take it personally in your own story. You were lucky enough to be a citizen of the United States of America, and you should make sure that you take that as seriously as everything else in your life. And the other thing is, if you are sitting on the sidelines and waiting for somebody else to do it, that is exactly how we get in the most trouble possible, because nobody's going to come save you. When you think that, and a lot of people do, but Jason Burmes every day brings the heat. I you are working harder than most anyone I know. You always were when you were on your own, I have to say, but now I you see it's so structured, and you haven't dropped a beat of your own business either, because you're still doing. Tell everyone where to find you. If you are not watching Jason Burmes, I am saying this for the people that follow me. I've learned more from this man than almost anyone out there. Loose Change and Fabled Enemies will change you, and you should share them with everyone. Also his other films. Tell them everywhere and everything. Jason Burmes, please.
Yeah, all the films are free, by the way. So Loose Change, Final Cut, Fabled Enemies, Invisible Empire, and New World Order Defined, and Shade the Motion Picture. You know, people all ask me what I'm selling or unplugging. I'm not selling anything.
Nope.
So I do a morning show, 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern for Red Voice Media, which you see in the background. That's a little less structured than my evening show Monday through Friday on ampnews.us, which is Making Sense of the Madness. And that is primarily an interview show, which I really do enjoy and get to talk to a lot of individuals that really aren't aware of my work, don't know who I am.
Oh, wow.
And otherwise wouldn't be on the show. So like I get to have those really interesting conversations. Cool. and meet people. So I like that. And then, yeah, I still on my own do some mixed martial mindset with John Fitch. I occasionally do fold alongs. I would encourage people to follow me on Twitter, even with the shadow ban, at Jason Burmes. And if you do want to support me, redvoicemedia.com/uncensored gets you. Usually it's 2 interviews a weekend. That eventually go free anyway, because we get it all away. But this week we did an extended one with Norbin Laden that was almost 2 hours. So I broke that up into 2 videos so it was more digestible. But you know, Rockfin's still there. We're rocking cool. There. We're on the Rumble. Bottom line is get the information out. I'd rather remain as anonymous as possible. I have no desire.
Too late.
To break out further than I already am. I'm doing okay for myself. I wouldn't be able to do it without the Burmes Brigade. But the bottom line is we are in a real battle, a real struggle, and we need more purveyors of truth and people that are going to not only just talk about it, but stand up and fight for it.
Yeah. And you've been fighting a real long time. I mean, basically your entire adult life has been spent trying to wake people up. I highly recommend this weekend all 4 of Jason's documentaries he mentioned, Fabled Enemies, Loose Change, Shade the Motion Picture, and what's the other one? Invisible Empire.
Invisible Empire, A New right. World Order Defined, Mel.
Yeah, you guys got to go see all these movies. I mean, it's life-changing, but the most important thing is to share them with people that don't know his work, don't know him, and please follow Jason Burmes. I do every day. I don't miss his stuff. And this is for me for years. So please, Jason Burmes is one of the voices out there that will lead us to the other side. And on the other side, we're going to have to rebuild. And we'll always Jason Burmes, I don't think you're even close to close to getting away with being on the other side either. So thank you so much, sir. I always appreciate it.
Later on, Mel. Thank you so much.
See ya. As you know, I love Mike Lindell. He's been a pal of mine and a supporter of the show. And honestly, he is a warrior for America. He is not giving up on this country. He is not giving up on you. He's not giving up on freedom and truth and justice. And that means that you should be going to MyPillow because so much is going on over there. Two pillows for $19.98, giant sale for the 20th anniversary. There's an overstock sale for 80% off, which is awesome. We love the slippers. Well, everyone loves the dog beds. Everyone, there's so much over there. And what you have to know, I love Mike Lindell. We have been all over the country with this man. He is a tireless warrior for America, for God, for country, for truth, and for justice. He is not giving up. He has an event coming up. Again, he has a whole nother event. He's got more evidence. He's going to keep fighting. He's going to keep going. That means that you have to also support him. But the best part about him is he supports me and other creators, and it really matters. He's keeping a lot of truth out there by giving me a code called the Mel K code. So if you go to themelkshow.com, go to our partners page, scroll down, you hit the My Pillow, you're going to take you right to the Mel K page. Use the Mel K code when checking out. It really, really makes a difference. I can't tell you guys how much I am so grateful to all of you. Everyone that have donated or gone to my partners, they are all vetted. They are all America first. Mike Lindell is an amazing man. We need to support his mission, and you guys supporting him and supporting me and using the Mel K code is really making a huge difference. There are so many, so many great things on that site. I will tell you, these are the best towels on planet Earth. Great specials right now. They're always doing something great over there. Support me, support Mike Lindell, support the United States of America. Enjoy the show, and I'll see you on the other side. Hi guys, you know for months and months, me and Mike Al have been talking about the water supply, what is in there. There are pharmaceuticals in the water supply, there are all these chemicals, lots of pollution. We've had all these natural disasters that leave our water not nearly as clean and certainly not as God intended. We know how important water is for our health. So we have been on a mission to try to find the best alternative to the water that is out there, including bottled water, which of course, we did a whole show on everything that's in bottled water, which is almost as shocking as what's in our natural water now. So we found the best partner we could in Healthy Hydrogen. This is a portable bottle that I use all the time, but also there are many options over there. You can get a full house system. You can get a tabletop system. You can get for your shower, for your office and business. They have so many great options. If you go to themelkshow.com, we have partnered with them. So it's on our partners page, Healthy Hydrogen. I am telling you right now, the difference in this water and what it will do to your health in general is incredible. If you have inflammation, your immune system has problems, anything that you are thinking you don't know the solution for, this could be the game changer. We've been looking for the missing piece, and I believe the missing piece is the water. We are so excited. They have so much science backing all of their products. They have been tested by all different groups out there that do this for a living and look at water really in depth. We have the hydrogen aspect, which is truly fascinating. Nothing is more important than water. We all know that. So make sure you're putting the best water in your body. And I assure you, this is a true, true game changer that you will see right away and will improve your health and your family's health going forward. Go check out the Mel K Show partners page, Healthy Hydrogen, and get your health back from the inside out, starting with God's great water. We will see you soon. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of the show.